I think we've discussed this in the past, Wendy, when you know somebody, you've known somebody for years and years and years, and then you find out something about that person that you had no idea. Has that ever happened to you?
What did I do?
No, this was not you at all. This is Dave Ennett. You know Dave Ennett. You've met Dave, right?
Yes, I love Dave Ennett.
I found out today. Now, I've known Dave since I
know
what
it
is.
I know what it is that you found out that amazes you.
Yeah.
Was it something about his daughter?
Yep.
Go ahead.
His daughter, Lindsay, was on Jeopardy, and she was a champion, and she won on Jeopardy.
And you're upset that you didn't know?
I've talked to Dave about 1,000 different things over the years, and that never came up. I mean, I never ask anybody.
Hey,
like,
did you have a kid on Jeopardy?
Right. Did your son and daughter ever appear on Jeopardy and win during the tournament of college champions? That's not a standard question. I've asked a few people, but I've never asked Dave that question. But why would he hold that from me? Why would he not share that information with me?
Because Dave Ennett is a sweet soul, and he doesn't like to brag.
True.
And
everything you just said is so true.
I can't see him offering up information. Maybe if you were talking about the Naperville Jeopardy guy, and then he would say,
maybe.
You know, it's my daughter was on it once.
Yeah.
But he's just, I didn't know that either. That was news to me. You know him better than I do, and for longer.
I heard him say this.
I know.
And like you've seen in cartoons, my hat went up in the air, spun around 3 times, and landed back on my head.
Was there a noise that was...
like that.
It is such a joy working with you every day.
Yeah.
I gotta admit.
I don't know why he would hold this from me. And then when I called him out on it, I go, Dave, that's all I said. I didn't even go beyond that. I go, Dave, he goes, I know, I never told you about it. And I go, why wouldn't you? I would tell everybody that.
Especially since she did well.
If she didn't do well, you don't bring it up.
Yeah.
But she won.
How much did she win? Did you go on and ask?
He said countless millions, but I don't think that's...
No. For as hard as you work, wouldn't you say Jeopardy's the hardest game show out there?
Yes.
For as hard as you work,
yes.
The prize is stingy.
It's certainly not in line with the amount of expertise it takes to win. And I know we've talked about this guy, Jamie Holzhauer, who is now not just winning, but winning at a rate that
winning
no
ugly.
One...
Winning ugly. And since we're the Sox station.
Right. He's an absolute machine at this, so much so that the other contestants are just now sitting back and marveling at him. They start out competing in the first few, the first few questions, they're hands on buzzers, but the rest of the time, they're watching him going, I can't believe what I'm seeing. I've been watching Jeopardy my whole life. I've never seen anything like this. It's never happened before.
And it's funny because, you know, people are like, he's a sports bettor and he's from Vegas and he knows the... That has nothing to do with smart he is.
You know, forever when the show... And I mentioned this the other day, but the more I watch it, because now I'm glued. At 3:30, I'm not doing anything but watching Jeopardy now. Because I watching this guy is like watching an athlete, like one of the best athletes in their prime. It's like he's like the Michael Jordan of Jeopardy.
Yeah.
You'll never see this again. So now at 3:30, that's what I'm doing. So normally, when you got a guy or a girl who's really good at this game... They're good at most of the categories, and then there's a couple, like when it's 14th century literature or when it's European opera,
yeah.
You just see them go, oh, I don't know this stuff at all. They can't find a category that this guy isn't well-versed in and answers so quickly.
See, that's amazing to me.
Oh, he's just insanely good.
I love when you watch the junior tournament and the kids... They're kids. They're teenagers usually.
Yeah.
And you see them like hitting their little button,
yeah.
Even though someone has already rung in, but you see like the second and third place, they just
right.
keep hitting it like, it's not working. It's not working.
Right.
I get great joy in watching them do that for some reason.
Years ago, there was an actor in town. His name was Cliff Catsky, and you probably never heard of him, but he was a really good actor. He did a bunch of plays here in town. I took classes with him at Second City. Very talented guy. So he was on Jeopardy. I think he won one episode. I think he was on two. He won the first one and not the second one, or he may have won two and not the third one.
Ballpark year. Or does it not matter to the story?
This would have been about 30 to 35 years
Jeez,
ago.
Jeez, you're old.
This is So Cliff was a contestant, and he said to me, I go, what's the one thing, like, because I know he watched it religiously. I go, what's the one thing that surprised you when you were there? And he said... The buzzer is nothing like what you think. Now, at the time, they've changed it a little bit, but but it's this palm-sized thing that you hold, and then there's like a thing on the top.
Almost,
yeah, like a thicker pen.
Click.
And he said it's very frustrating the way it works. He goes, because you would imagine all you would need to do is just touch the top of it, and it just goes off. He goes, but there you have to finesse it a little bit. He said, and I watched his episodes, like you just described with the teenage kids that hold it up. He goes, there were times where I was pressing it, and it just wasn't registering. I go, did you let them know that? He goes, oh, yeah. He goes, during a break, I called him over, and he goes, I don't think my buzzer's working properly.
You know how many people have said that?
Everybody. Everybody who's ever lost on Jeopardy said, oh, I lost because my buzzer was not properly fixed. But he said it's very frustrating because you think all it is a soft touch and then it rings in. He goes, but there were times you had to press it so hard or three or four times.
I don't believe that, Bill. This is like, isn't this one of the top rated shows on television?
Game shows. Yeah.
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 That's what I meant.
Yeah.
So I don't think they would have their buzzer in disarray.
You'd want it working at best it could possibly work.
What
right?
I think it is with the kids, because I don't see it that much with adults. It's only the junior tournament.
Yeah.
And it's like, you know, we do this when we play games. It's like you want to push it through faster, but someone has beat them to the punch.
Right.
I think that's why the kids are doing it.
Well, he maintained that there were a couple of answers that hadn't been answered yet, and he just kept pressing it and pressing it.
Weird.
It wasn't going off. But then I said to him, why would they have some sort of a plot against you, Cliff? What would Alex Trebek gain in you not winning at Jeopardy?
Did he have a better mustache than Alex at the time?
He had a thinner mustache. Yeah. I wouldn't say better, a thinner, more European-looking mustache than Alex Trebek had. But Trebek, I don't think Trebek bases his like or dislike of people on their mustaches. I don't think.
Aren't men competitive about their facial hair?
To some extent. Yeah.
Is that why you don't have any? You got enough to be competitive about?
I have to shave four times a day, Wendy.
I
shave between when we do our regular show and this version of the show, the stream. You see me in there with my shaving kit. I'm shaving.
I just can't believe it's. You're almost like the Homer Simpson, you know, in the cartoons.
Yes.
When he shaves and like a second later you see the
stubble pops up.
Yeah.
Yep. That's me.
Yep. You honestly shave every single day?
Yeah. I've missed a day in years. No, I take that back.
On vacation, I bet you did.
No, I always shave on vacation.
Because you want to get better sun.
There was, yeah, yeah.
If you don't shave, you're going to have, you know, then you will shave when you get home.
Right, and it'll be uneven.
Yeah.
It would all be uneven. And actually, the strangest thing in the world, years ago, because I had a beard for about a year and a half.
It was a good look.
Yeah, it was a very, very good look.
It was very popular at the time. You're blonde, and a lot of times facial hair is not the same color.
My beard was a very dark brown, and my hair is blonde, so I looked like Lamar Hoyt, who pitched for the White Sox.
I don't know who that
Dewey
is.
Hoyt. I looked just like, honestly, I could show you a picture where you'd go, why is Lamar Hoyt in your family picture?
I was going to go Sam Haggerty.
Dan Haggerty?
Yes. That's what I meant.
Yeah.
God, I've turned into my mom. What do you hear about
what
that?
What do you hear from Sam
That's
Haggerty?
Sam Haggerty. Oh, Mom, do you mean Dan? Yes, yeah. I do.
Yeah. Nowhere near as beefy as Dan Haggerty, certainly.
Oh, stop.
I don't think. I mean,
but he had a blondish hair and a dark beard.
Yeah, there are.
You know, sometimes the curtains don't match the drapes.
That's a euphemism, right?
No, just sometimes the curtain and the...
Oh, yeah.
Or the carpet.
Because the curtain and the drapes.
I am the worst at colloquialisms.
Do you know what Sam Haggerty said to me once, Wendy?
No.
He said, the curtains and the drapes are the same thing. But if there's carpet involved, then I go, what do you know about this, Sam Haggerty? You don't even exist. And then he just, like a bubble, he just vanished.
Can I tell you,
weirdest thing.
I am the worst. And that was just genuinely me being me.
Yeah.
I'm not trying to be funny,
no.
And I have often said, you know, that guy doesn't have all his oars in the fire.
Oh.
And I know when I think about it, it's oars in the water,
right.
irons in the fire. But I am so bad at those.
Right. Well, you're getting closer, though. You're making progress.
Anyway, the carpet doesn't always match the drapes, and I'm saying it that way because sometimes you're... Eyebrows are darker than the hair on your head.
Sometimes your left eyebrow is darker than your right eyebrow.
No.
That never happens. But that would be an interesting look. That would be such a cool look.
Why would
I'm
it
surprised.
Be cool?
You know how like now it's like an in thing to have one sock that's brown and one sock that's yellow? That's like a thing. You just have different colored socks or something like that. Why don't they go extreme with that with the eyebrows? That you get a lot of attention with that.
You could do that super easily.
Yeah, I don't know why people don't do that. That'd be fun.
My eyebrows do not show if I don't put an eyebrow pencil on. They're just too light, and I look like Whoopi Goldberg.
Oh.
Because she has no eyebrows.
She has no eyebrows at all.
That's what it looks like.
I would like to do a thing where I have one, like, thick eyebrow, like a Leonid Brezhnev eyebrow, and then my other eyebrow would be, like, remember how Bernadette Peters had very dainty, thin eyebrows? Mm-hmm. I would like to do half Leonid Brezhnev. That's what I ask for when I go in for my mani-pedi. I go, can you also give me a Brezhnev Peters? And they're like, that doesn't exist, sir.
A mani-pedi is not your eyebrows, by
the
way.
No, mani-pedi is the Oakland A's shortstop. He's so good. Boy, the range on this guy, Wendy.
You don't even need me.
So
you are a
one-man don't say that.
Show.
But here's a long time ago when I started telling you this, this is what I was going to tell. All right, so I had a beard for like a year and a half. And then I went to Las Vegas, and I said, I'm going to surprise Terry. We were dating at the time. We weren't married. I'm going to come home. She's never seen me, except in pictures, without a beard. So while I'm here in Las Vegas, I'm going to shave it off, and then I'll go home. So it's the middle of the summer, and I shaved it off. And then I went swimming, and people were looking at me funny. And I'm like, why are they looking at me funny? They didn't know I had a beard for a year and a half, and now I don't. This is odd. And then when I came back in, I realized, because I had a pretty severe tan at the time, but I did not have a tan where my beard was. So it was like an inverse tan. It was a reverse tan of me having like a white beard that was my skin where my beard used to be. And it looked very peculiar. So I recommend to people, if you're going to shave your beard off, do it in November,
do it
December,
before you get
January.
In the sun.
Don't do it in the sunnier months.
So did you use like a fake tanning thing to match it
No,
up?
I just had that look for a while. And my friend Sam Haggerty said, you got to put on some fake...
He's not your friend. He's mine.
Your friend. Your friend Sam Haggerty said, you got to do something to balance that out.
Terry stayed with you during that reverse beard situation.
Yeah. It was only like that for like 4 or 5 days. But I got to admit, it's a strange look. I'm surprised more people don't... Wouldn't you think more people would shave their beard off like in the summer? Is that right? They don't? Because they're wise to the fact that their skin will be an uneven... shade?
I'm not sure. I just know yesterday I was waiting for the press conference from the Crystal Lake police officers, police department and the FBI.
Yeah.
And Maury Povich was on Channel 9. So we had the volume down because I can't.
You don't want to listen.
I can't.
To that. Yeah.
So we were just kind of sitting there waiting for it to happen.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, Jim said, I have to go up and shave. I said, why?
He always shaves for press conferences.
Know what it
That's
was
his thing.
But he's just
I can't have any hair during a press conference. I gotta shave.
He's been doing the, like, you know, stubble look that people have, and he said that every other stubble, sometimes it just comes in different and itches him.
He's
like
right.
Crazy.
He's
like
right.
A lot of times he said it's fine, he doesn't even notice it, but this time it was driving him nuts, so he had to like go up and shave at that moment.
Wow. That's severe.
He just said. And
there used to be, I don't know if they still make this, but I used to see this in stores. There was a razor kit that you would use if you still wanted to have a stubble look. Do you know what I mean?
Like clippers where it had little settings?
No, it was a regular, like a razor, but for some reason the blades were such that they would still cut off most of your beard, but they would still leave you with a stubbly look. And I'm trying to think. There were a couple of guys at the time.
Don Johnson,
chief among them.
Yeah, he started
who had
craze.
That stubbly look, so people would see that on TV or in the movies and go, yeah, that's the look for me. So it was for people who didn't want their beard to get out of hand, and they would have the stubble. But you
was
were still
electric?
I don't think it was. I don't think so. I never used it. There was also some doctor on All My Children that had that look at the time, too. I want to say his name was Dr. Scott. Do you remember him at all?
No.
He was Canadian.
Oh, he would then say, I remember.
A lot of times in All My Children, he would say, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
They would always make him sad about things so that they could make
so
him say, I'm
say
sorry.
Yeah. Did you hear a soap opera actor that we liked passed away?
Oh, no. Who?
It was a nighttime soap opera. You didn't hear this?
Oh, Ken Kirchhoff from Dallas. Yeah, he died a few days ago, right?
Beautiful blue eyes. What was his character name on Dallas? Cliff?
Cliff Barnes.
Healing. Cliff Barnes, right.
Cliff Barnes.
I loved him.
Yeah, he was good.
He was good in that. That was a really good show.
Dallas, I guess, was pretty good. I never went out of my way to watch it. Every once in a while, I would watch an episode, and it was weird because I would only see like one out of every 6 or 7. but I didn't feel lost in the storyline.
Yeah. They caught you up pretty well previously.
Well, that's
on
any
Dallas.
Soap opera. You could not watch it for 2 years and start watching it again, and you'll be back
Everybody's
and know exactly who it is and what's going on.
Yeah. Yeah.
I wonder if I start. Is All My Children still on?
No. It's gone.
But General Hospital's still
that's
on.
That's still
Young
on.
Young and the Restless is. That was a big YNR fan.
I think
fan.
There's four now.
All right.
There
I never watched
nine.
That, but I did watch General Hospital. If I just turned it on today, would I be able to
it
catch
up? It would take
up?
You 2 days.
Yeah.
You'd be, oh, yeah, that guy and her. Yeah,
that
I remember them.
All right.
I was a CBS soap opera watcher.
Really?
Yeah.
So Young and the Restless.
Guiding
Search,
Lights.
Search for Tomorrow. Was
As
that CBS?
The World Turns.
Yeah.
I used to come home
Channel
from
7.
School and watch all of them.
Oh, did you?
Oh, yeah. That was like our friends. We used to... I'll go home and then just go sit around and eat onion dip and potato chips and what?
The official food of soap operas.
It was that and chocolate Pop-Tarts.
Oh, perfect. Perfect. If I remember right, Ken Kercheval was like the opposite of the Ewings, right? He was their
he was
adversary.
The ranch hand.
Oh, he was?
But he ended up marrying one of them, didn't he? Or was boyfriends just a
yeah,
boyfriend?
Yeah, there was a lot of intermarriage.
Was it Lucy? Yeah, that's what I thought.
Lucy Ewing.
Yeah, right? I thought that they...
The magnificent Charlene Tilden.
Tilden, right.
Yeah. In my good days, I looked like her facial lines.
Did you?
Yes. Like the tail end of high school.
Wow.
Then I turned into James Spader.
Oh.
Hmm.
Well, that's what happens.
To whom?
many.
Well, James Spader's having a better run right now than...
Right.
So
your timing couldn't have been better.
I guess.
Where did Charlene Tilton go? She didn't do anything much after that, right after Dallas?
I've seen her in a few reunion-y type of things.
Oh, yeah? But, Dallas reunions?
Yeah, but I don't
but
know.
Not the same. I think, though, that Barnes, Cliff Barnes, Wendy, was not a... I don't think he worked for them. I think he was like another oil magnate.
I think you're right.
I think he was their enemy, their adversary. You might be thinking of... Pine. Robert Pine. No, he was on Chips. He wasn't on that at all.
Then
Chips
I'm not thinking of him.
That's
Chris Pine's daddy?
Yeah, it's Chris Pine's dad. Who's the guy that looks like Robert Pine that was on Dallas? There was some actor who played like... Is it Steve Canale? Is that his name?
Oh, yeah.
That's the guy that worked for
them. Was he the ranch hand?
Yeah. I'm getting them mixed up.
Steve
You're
Canale.
Right. Yeah. Yes, he was in Dallas... Ray Krebs,
right.
Yeah, you're right, Bill.
Yeah.
Patrick Duffy, Larry Hagman, Barbara Bel Geddes, forgot about here. Mary Crosby.
Not always Barbara Bel Geddes, though, because
she died,
for a while,
right? Or had a stroke and they brought somebody
Donna
else.
Donna Reed.
Oh, right.
Oh, you're right. And the Jim Davis.
Yeah, Jim Davis was jockeying.
Who was
handsome?
He was the dad, right?
Yeah.
Right.
White hair.
Yeah.
Gruff. He was very gruff.
Joan Van Ark. Linda Evans. God, these just...
What a cast.
It really was.
Who was Bobby's wife? Priscilla?
Victoria Principal.
Yeah, Victoria Principal, right.
Yeah. She was pretty.
Mm-hmm. Still is. Ken Kercheval played JR's nemesis.
Mm-hmm.
You're right, Bill.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to ever go against you in toys or soap operas or
no.
View.
That's fair.
Or The View.
If those are my Jeopardy categories,
I was going to say.
Then Jamie better look out because I'm coming for him. If he gets
Dallas for 600.
That's what they'll have to do at some point. This guy is so good that new contestants, they get to pick the categories just to even the score.
Yeah, he's good.
Wow.
He's what, over $1 million now?
He's just under $1.2 million right now.
Oh.
And that's just like in 13 or 14
and
days.
And how many days till he catches up with Ken Jennings?
Ken Jennings won for 70-something days. So I don't know this guy could beat him at that, but he's going to overtake his dollar thing in about 2 weeks if he goes at the pace he's going at right now.
Interesting.
Yeah, he's so good. He's just so good.
Can I just give you a quick little, what's it called? Eulogy for Ken Kercheval.
Yeah.
I didn't know he was living in Clinton, Indiana, so he wasn't very far from us.
Wow, that is close.
He didn't come say hi.
His passion for acting began in 1954 when he dropped out of Indiana University after one semester to accept the lead in Terre Haute's production of Kiss Me, Kate. So he began as a stage actor.
There's some tie-in with him. And do you know who Ivan Dixon is?
Yes.
From Hogan's Heroes? I think they either went to school together or he met him when he was a young actor.
Well, he went on to study drama for a year in California before heading to New York, where he met Robert Duvall, Gene Hackman, Dustin Hoffman, Suzanne Plachette.
How do you just meet them?
Hi, Bob.
Kurcheval first show role was in the Broadway production of Something About a Soldier in 1962. My God.
He was acting before we were born.
Yeah. Yeah. And the off-Broadway production of Berlinda Broadway in 72. He then starred in several other productions, including The Apple Tree, Cabaret, Here's Where I Belong, and Fiddler on the Roof.
Mm.
Interesting. And then in 62, he transitioned to screen, and it wasn't long before he became a staple in the television and film world. He was made appearances on The Secret Storm, Kojak, Chips, Starsky and Hutch, The Love Boat, Matlock, Highway to Heaven, before he landed the role of Barnes, the brother of Victoria, principal's character Pamela Ewing on the Dallas.
He was her brother.
Yeah,
yes.
And she married into the Ewing family.
That's it.
Yeah. No mention of Ivan Dixon, though, huh?
Oh,
for some reason, anytime I see him, I would always be reminded of Ivan Dixon because I remember reading something years ago that he inspired him for some reason.
You know, and it's interesting, too, that he made that transition from Broadway to television because a lot of times, I think back in that time, that was harder to do than it is
sure.
now.
Oh, sure. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
A lot of health battles in 94. Kurcheval had part of his lung removed after he was diagnosed with lung cancer. He admitted to smoking 2 to 3 packs of cigarettes per day and being an alcoholic for 20 years. He was married and divorced multiple times.
To Ivan Dixon ever?
No.
No?
He leaves behind 3 children. Boy, that's sad because
he
got so successful, and it's just like, look what happens.
Yeah, I know.
So why work hard to be successful?
Well, I would go the opposite and say, why smoke and drink if you are successful? Because it'll just cut your time short.
All right, that's a smarter way of looking at it.
I don't know. It's just a different version.
Well, which came first, the chicken or the egg?
Yeah, maybe he was already smoking. Maybe Ivan Dixon taught him how to drink and
that
smoke.
That could very well have been.
That was eventually his downfall.
Hi, Bob.
He said, I know nothing.
Right,
Ken Kurcheval dead at 83.
Ah.
Sad.
Let us take a break. Let us pray.
That's what you were going to say.
I'm very religious, Wendy. Very religious. All right, Kim's got the news for you, and then there's more show. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
I'm never going to give you up, Bill. I'm going to rickroll you.
Oh. All right. Let me get my date book out. Hold on.
You are funny today. Well, you are every day, but today you're
today
cracking me.
Did you take some extra vitamins or something?
Yes.
Flintstone chewables, I hope.
Yes. The Green Barneys.
I have Flintstone stuff for you. Can we talk about
me?
That?
Was looking for a purple Dino.
One of the rarest of the Flintstones multiple.
Yes. We can do Flintstones tomorrow. You have something you have to do, right?
I teased these websites, these Wikipedia pages.
Oh, yeah, that's better.
That are dangerous.
All right, that's better, and it's brought to us by American Weathermakers.
It is, American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling. They are the 60-Minute Men. People know that. Tim, thanks very much. Wendy, remind me, I think I know this, but remind me anyway, your stance on Wikipedia is what?
I hate Wikipedia.
You hate it? Because?
Wikipedia is typically wrong on so many entries, and so many times I have gotten
false information.
Yeah, and then you feel like such a complete idiot when you say something to a guest, you know, and you're like, oh, so I understand, you know, you were in a production of Pippi Longstockings.
Right.
And they say, no, I wasn't at all.
Yeah. Which guest did you ask that question of? I'm curious.
Elvis Costello.
Yeah, he wasn't in Pippi Longstocking.
No, he wasn't.
Wikipedia is the best thing ever. Anyone in the world can write anything they want about any subject. So you know you are getting the best possible information.
See, and other people can edit it, and it's just, I can't trust it. And that's the first thing that pops up every time you Google something.
I think because we hear the word Wikipedia in it, we think of like an encyclopedia, which is filled with facts that they've checked and double checked and triple checked, not so much on Wikipedia. I think you'll enjoy this. That said, I think you will enjoy this. These are the strangest and most shocking Wikipedia pages, and it claims here that once you are privy to them, you will not be able to sleep. You'll keep on reading them.
All right.
Are you prepared to lose sleep?
Yeah, let's go.
All right. Here is a Wikipedia page, and it's called The Last Meal. And it is pretty much what you would expect. They give you the criminal.
The last meal of every criminal executed.
That's it, exactly. For instance, here's an entree from the last meal page in Wikipedia.
An entree or
I said entree
or
because
entree.
It's food. I mixed the two.
Entry of the entree.
Entry entree. Right. I wish my friend Andre were here to help me with this, but he is not here today. All right. It says the name John Wayne Gacy on top. It gives you
chicken.
His age.
I see him as a fried chicken.
No,
guy.
You would be wrong.
Pizza.
You no, both wrong on John Wayne Gacy. No. No.
This is going to be a new game.
Right.
What did the people eat before
what
they were
did the
executed?
Criminal eat before they were executed. It says he's 52, was 52 years old, state of origin, Illinois. Then it says what he was charged with, rape and 33 counts of murder. How he was taken from us, lethal injection. And then finally, what brought you to the party, his last meal. Here's what his last meal was, and there's a picture of it. 12 fried shrimp.
Oh, that's a good call.
A bucket of original recipe KFC.
Did I not say fried chicken?
Yeah.
You did. For some reason, I only saw the fried shrimp until I read down into it. I'm sorry.
He looks like a fried chicken kind of guy, or did.
He also had French fries.
And a seltzer bottle, water. The seltzer.
Doesn't say where his last drink was.
He was a clown, wasn't he?
He was a clown, so they gave him seltzer. They sprayed him down with seltzer.
Yeah, I couldn't spit it out.
He had a pound of strawberries. Now, normally you'd say that's too filling, but at that point you go,
who cares?
Go for it.
I love strawberries.
I do too.
Prior to being convicted, it said Gacy had managed 3 KFC restaurants. That's why the fondness for your Kentucky Fried Chicken. I'm sure they're proud of that little factoid.
Boy, when you work at a place, don't you think you'd get sick of it?
You would think, but I bet for John Wayne Gacy, here I am thinking like a mass murderer again, Wendy. I can't help myself.
I love this part
of
the
show. You like the bones?
He, yeah.
Kim, that was just...
Oh, no. You would think that maybe for him, it's something familiar. He probably ate it so often, so he's like...
And free.
Let's go back to something I remember fondly.
Yeah, okay, yeah. That's a good one.
Yeah.
Have you ever thought what your last meal would be?
Many times.
I would need a buffet because there are so many things.
An all-you-can-eat buffet.
Not all-you-can-eat.
I would stress that part because every time they were coming for you, I go, I'm not done yet. I'm still eating
just
on the buffet.
Just one more. Well, I didn't mean.
Yes.
Because how do you decide between steak and lobster, lobster and crab legs? So I would want both of those.
Oh, I have to go stone crabs.
From Joe Stone Crab or elsewhere? Yeah,
I would.
Pretty good
I'd
stuff.
Take the Alaskan King Crab, to be
those
honest
are delicious.
With you.
And
those
pizza.
So
I would want pizza.
Me too. Pizza for sure.
French fries.
Can you get little bits of all your favorite things?
So.
Or do they just go, come on.
Some people just get whatever the particular cafeteria offers.
Right. Now, I've heard a rumor that you're not allowed to ask for alcoholic beverages, but you would think, what better time to have one or two or three than then? It's your last meal. Let it be low and brow.
Yeah, that was a campaign that didn't quite work for them.
Right.
I'd have a bottle of Dom Perignon.
Oh, yeah, go big.
I
go
would
big
do champagne,
and go home.
You're right. Yeah.
Oh,
and
yeah.
And one Manhattan. I would want one Manhattan because I love them now.
Yeah.
With the good cherries.
How about the bottomless cup of coffee? Because, again, you could just say, I'm still enjoying that. I don't even like coffee, but that's what I would
I'm not
ask.
Done yet.
I want
that's
more coffee.
That's the day you start drinking coffee.
Right. That's the day.
I'd have that's to go Grater's and a Blizzard.
Oh, some ice cream and a Blizzard. Oh, yeah. Go heavy on
Hello,
the ice cream.
Hello, my name is. Can I just tell you something?
Yeah.
I got a problem.
With the Grater's?
Yeah.
Too much,
did you
too
try
much
the chocolate
cream?
Coconut?
That's
the
what I've been on? No, that's not available.
That's the flavor of the month.
Right. I can't. Mm. There is no shop near me. So I go to Mariano's and get the pints or whatever. Yes.
Yeah.
And the coconut chocolate chip. And their chocolate chip is bittersweet. And it's like in giant chunks.
Yeah.
Some are smaller, but every once in a while you'll get like this giant chunk of chocolate.
It's beyond good.
I have an addiction.
Oh.
This is a person who told you I didn't even really like ice cream.
But now you've changed your way.
I've been having it every day.
Really?
Can I give you a little tip on the coconut chip? The best dessert I ever had in my life was coconut chip on top of pineapple upside down cake.
Wow, that's a lot of flavors.
It was
all coming together.
Beyond delicious.
Yeah, and did you come up with that, or did they recommend?
No,
that?
I was at a party and they
served put it out.
Yeah.
Wow,
I don't like upside down cake.
I don't either, but
oh,
it was
but it
so good with the
so
pineapple.
Good.
Yeah,
that's interesting. All right, we'll put that down as our last meal dessert.
Okay,
yeah.
There we go.
Get that for your last meal.
But yeah, I have a hello. My name is
Wendy. This Wikipedia page ties into what we were talking about earlier with our guest, with Bruce. But this is a slightly different spin. It's a page that lists all the unfortunate incidents that have taken place at Disneyland.
Wait, I thought we were talking last meals.
You thought what?
Well, that was on the Wikipedia page. Now he's moving on to a different Wikipedia page.
I was ready to stay. You said once you get on these pages, you'll want to stay on them forever. Yeah. I did. I'm sorry. So this is the next entry.
Yeah. These are unfortunate accidents that have taken place.
I've already been to this site.
Have you seen this already?
Yes. I love it.
Now, I told you years ago, there's a book called Inside the Mouse.
Yes.
Which is confessions of people that used to work at Disney World, not Disneyland. And they tell you all the things you're not supposed to know. For instance, you're not allowed to die, unless they've changed this since the book was written, you're not allowed to die on Disney property. So even though there have been some horrendous things that have happened and people have died while there, they have to take the remains of the person off campus, off Disney.
Transport you on a stretcher.
And then be declared dead once you're out of the Disney city limits.
That seems like
it would no longer be the happiest place on earth.
They don't want to change that.
But guys, that's not right. That's weird that they're controlling...
A little bit.
That's bizarre.
A little bit. I agree with you.
Well, isn't Walt still frozen somewhere?
No, just a rumor.
Is it a rumor?
No, he's buried. But there were forever they thought that cryogenically frozen.
Right. And in Tomorrowland? Or no?
I remember people hinting at that, but that was... I mean, the whole thing didn't happen, so... You could put Mr. Disney anywhere you wanted to. He's Mr. Disney. He's buried.
He loves him.
He's very much buried. All right, so here's another Wikipedia page. It's called The Passengers of the RMS Titanic. And what it is it's the list of everybody who was on board. You probably already know the story of the Titanic, but have you ever been curious about any of the 2,208 people who were actually aboard the ship? Over 1,500 people lost their lives on that day in 1912. On this page, it lists all the known passengers on board, including their personal information, their stories, and whether or not they survived.
Oh, that's interesting.
That would be interesting.
Yes.
Right? Here's a page called The Murder of Sylvia Likens. I don't even know who that is. Gertrude Banaszewski facilitated the torture and murder of a 16-year-old named Sylvia Likens in 1965. Likens was tortured in unspeakable ways for 3 months.
Jeez.
By the Banaszewski family where she lived. The page has detailed summaries of all the events, which were so horrifying that they're considered to be the most terrible crime ever committed in the state of Indiana.
Oh, my goodness.
That says a lot.
Murdered by her caretaker and neighbors. That's disgusting.
Here's another page. Again, this is kind of ghoulish, but many of these are. This is a list of all the people who have died while climbing Mount Everest. Mount Everest is the world's highest mountain. Nearly 300 people have died while trying to climb its tallest peak. Some deaths occurred due to avalanches. Some people slipped and fell off the edges. And a lot of people have disappeared without a trace. This page chronicles their stories.
Hmm. That's interesting, but I just think you're right. Tempting death by doing
by
that.
By reading up on it?
Wasn't there somebody just in the news fairly recently who slipped while taking a photo at the Grand Canyon?
Yeah.
Yes.
That's happening a lot now.
It's happening more because people want to get these perfect pictures for their Instagram pages.
And right. That's sad.
There was just recently a girl who fell at a college because she...
On spring break?
Tried to sneak up to the top of the building at the school and something gave way and she fell and died.
I read a story 2 weeks ago where they're calling it an epidemic because people are just, they're just plain out not thinking. They're going, won't this make a great picture for social media, even though it's so dangerous to get up there? So it's happening more and more and more. Along the same lines, the Donner Party. A group of 87 pioneers made their way by wagon from Missouri to California in May of 1846. Due to several mishaps and snowstorms, the typical 4 to 6 month trip took nearly twice as long to complete. Many group members resorted to cannibalism.
Oh my God, this is like Alive before that movie was made.
Yeah, yeah. In order to survive, nearly half of the party died on the trail. And the events are now recognized as one of the most bizarre and spectacular tragedies in California history and in Western U.S. migration history.
That's where Party of Five?
Right.
That's where that's...
Right.
Phrase
you may really want to think the name Party. Once your party favors are your friends and family, it's
right,
no longer a party.
So you're eating your family members?
Yeah.
I don't know if that's better or worse. I guess keep it in the same, you know, you're made of the same blood. So
right, I guess.
At least digestively, you'd agree with that.
Right. Right.
You don't need to have a Tums after.
I would just starve.
I can't eat my brother, Wendy. You know why I can't eat my brother?
Why can't
you? I'm allergic to nuts.
Ba-dum-bum.
Here's another page that is interesting. It's a list of banned films. Not films about bands.
What?
Not like the movie that's about Queen. Band B-A-N-N-E-D.
Oh, oh.
Hundreds of major movies are released every year, but not every country wants them to be seen.
Like Faces of Death, was that?
No, not like that. I mean, that was banned in some places, although the backstory on Faces of Death was, it wasn't, this is, I mean, you're not supposed to know this, but I know it, so I'll share it with you. Faces of Death wasn't banned by anybody, but the movie producers realized they had a hit on their hands if they told people they weren't allowed to show it in movie theaters.
So then you made everybody want to see it.
So that when they released it on video, people
it wasn't
were like,
wow. fake either, because the monkey brain situation was for real.
It was a combination of
that
things.
Was real. That was real, where they were killing a monkey. They were all sitting
taking
around a table, and it happens in some other country where that's a delicacy.
Yeah.
And they killed the monkey and they ate the brains.
Obviously, you did not see it. That will not be. No, I saw it. I'm friends with the guys that were the producers of it, the Ali brothers, Malik and Waleed.
How are you friends with them? When's the last time you talked to them?
Well, one of them is no longer with us, so it's been a long time for him. But I talked to one of them a couple of years ago because they had this is a weird backstory, but they own the rights to Dark Shadows as well. So when they put out the
really
the set of Dark Shadows, I talked to them then a couple years ago.
They're not really friends of yours.
Yeah, he's a friend.
Really?
Yeah. Not like a Grant Mulvey. Not like a best friend, but still a friend. Hundreds of major movies are released every year, but not every country wants them to be seen. This page gives the specific reasons about why certain films have been censored and banned in individual countries. For example, did you know that in the movie The Wolf of Wall Street, that has been banned from theaters in Cambodia and by most African countries, but it doesn't say why in this story? I want to know why.
Hmm.
I wonder if it's the cocaine use.
I don't know, because
there's a couple of scenes in there where there's excessive cocaine use, and I know in some parts of the world they don't want to showcase that in movies, so I wonder if that's what it was with that.
Was it the Queen movie that...
they cut out the gay scenes.
Yeah.
There's a couple of...
For another country, yeah.
There's a couple of intimate gay scenes in the movie, and other countries said, no, we can't show that.
Right.
Do we have time for one more or no?
Real quickly. Is it a good one?
No, that one's too sad.
Yeah,
most of these are really sad.
All right, well, what is the topic? Because people can look it up on their own.
Yeah, if you go to BuzzFeed,
I'm going to.
These are the strangest and most shocking Wikipedia pages. It says here, Wendy, you will not be able to stop reading, but if your show is out of time, you have to stop reading it. So our show is out of time.
Okay.
Kim, thank you for hanging
thank
out.
Thank you.
Back after this. And that's it for today. Thanks, everybody, so much for listening. We really do appreciate you listening. And tomorrow, as it turns out, Wendy, the greatest day ever invented, Friday, it's here. It's upon us tomorrow.
I like it.
It's coming soon. All right. Thanks, everybody, for listening. Did I mention that? I'll mention it one more time. Thanks, everybody. We appreciate you listening. Tune in again tomorrow. Bye, Wendy.
See you, Bill.